Welcome to Let's Talk Family Law, your source for how to navigate the financial and legal implications of divorce, custody, asset division, and adoption. This podcast series is created and produced by Weber Gallagher. Visit us at wglaw.com. This program should not be considered legal advice. Please consult our attorneys for your specific situation. And now, here are our hosts.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Weber Gallagher's Let's Talk Family Law. Today, we're going to be talking about child custody relocation and sort of what that means, how it's done, and how you might prevent it. A little bit of a background here. My name is John Zerzola. I am a partner here at Weber Gallagher in the Family Law Department. Our offices are located in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, where we are able to effectively service the five-county Philadelphia area, which includes Philadelphia County, Montgomery County, Norristown, Westchester, Doylestown, Bucks County, and Media, Delaware County. And we're going to keep our talk today to child custody relocation in Pennsylvania with respect to Pennsylvania law. This doesn't have anything with New Jersey, which is also where we practice. Today, we'll talk about Pennsylvania child custody relocation. Okay. The first thing we probably should do is define what an actual relocation is in the law. To set it up, two people are sharing custody of a child or children because they were either, you know, married and divorced now, or they were never married and they're separated as a couple, and they're sharing custody of children or a child. And one part wants to move somewhere where you can think it would be inconvenient for the other person to exercise custody. It should be noted that this is relocation only really comes into play when there's already a child custody order, but does come into play if no child custody order and someone wants to move. If that happens and there's no child custody order and somebody wants to move, you sort of have a custody case and a relocation case at the same time. But let's think about it in terms of people sharing custody that already have a custody order. Let's say the custody order says that, mother has primary physical custody of the child and the father gets the child every other weekend from Friday to Sunday and on holidays, days off from school, and 2 weeks in the summertime. Let's use that as our example. Pretty common custody order, too. All right, so relocation. We know that that's when somebody wants to move. So let's define what relocation is in the actual Pennsylvania law. Relocation is defined as a change in a residence of the child, which significantly impairs the ability of the non-relocating party to exercise custodial rights. So a relocation is defined as, in a sense, when the person who has custody is inconvenienced, in a sense, with respect to the child moving, okay? Now, most of the time that happens, and that's my layman's definition. I'll read the actual definition one more time. A change in the residence of a child, which significantly impairs the ability of the non-relocating party, which means the parent, to exercise custodial rights. So think about somebody that has custody is moving away with the child. All right. The relocation then takes the form of examining what that does to the custodial rights of the person that's not moving, all right? And then the law continues to further take over from there. So think about it. People move for all kinds of different reasons. They move because of their job. They move because they may want to relocate. They move because, maybe a family member needs them to live in a different part of the country or something like that. When we think about relocation, we usually do think about it in those stark terms. Somebody moving to Florida, in a sense, from Pennsylvania, or somebody moving to California. You know, I think we could all agree that that would probably be something that would significantly impact the custody rights of the person that's not moving. That guy that's getting his child every other weekend and on days off from school or 2 weeks out of the summertime or something like that. Child's not there anymore. You can't exercise weekend custody if, you know, the child's moving to California. It just doesn't become economically feasible, probably not in the best interest of the child and it's certainly a real hassle for the parents. But this is, these things happen. So we know these things happen. So the law, like I said, takes over. Okay. And there are a whole bunch of rules that have to do with what happens when one party says, I'm moving and I'm taking my children with me. The law provides that there shall be a notice sent to the party that's proposing the relocation. Okay. So the party that's moving, in this case, our example, it's mother. Mother's moving to Florida, let's say, with both children. And the father is getting every other weekend, and he's getting days off from school and Christmas and all that good stuff, 2 weeks in the summertime. The law says that a notice has to be sent to that dad, that non-relocating party, 60 days prior to the date of the proposed relocation by certified mail. So the proposed relocation, meaning you may want to do it, but the law is not saying that you're actually able to relocate with your children. The law does propose that if, for instance, you do not have that much time, like, for instance, I don't know, maybe you're in the military or something like that, or maybe, you know, you're having to go take care of a parent that died and there's a minor children. I mean, you can think of any kind of an example. Sometimes people have 60 days that they should know that they're going to move, and sometimes they don't. So in the military example, for instance, the law says if an individual did not know and could not reasonably have known of the relocation in a sufficient time to comply with the 60-day notice, then they have 10 days to do it, okay? And when notice is sent, if it's done properly, it's sent with a document that gives the other party, the non-relocating party, the ability to object. It's called a counter affidavit. Now, I'm probably already confusing folks, or maybe your eyes are glazing over because I'm talking about law. This is probably the time we say, when you're doing a relocation, it's probably a good idea to consult with a child custody attorney, because this is where it gets technical. There's things you actually have to do to make it legitimate in the case of a situation where you're operating under a custody order with the other parent, okay? So the notice gets sent. And the notice has all kinds of information on it that you would think is probably important to the other side. The notice has to have the address of where you're going. It has to have the names and the individuals that are going to be living in the new address. You know, maybe the person's moving to Florida and they're moving in with their mom and dad, and there's a couple of other adults in the house, aunts or uncle, something like that. I always laugh when I see this. It needs to have the home telephone number of the intended new resident, as if anybody has home telephone numbers anymore. A big thing needs to be listed on there, the name of the new school district and school that the children are going to be going to. You're going to find that when you investigate custody relocation, this becomes one of the main things that folks disagree on. And it's reasonable, right? Let's say a child's in seventh grade or something like that, in a fine school district. Maybe they're in with Wissahickon, maybe they're in Lower Merion or something like that. Now you're moving to Florida. You know, you have no idea what's going on down there. Kind of puts it incumbent upon the parent who's relocating to relocate to a place there's a good school district. You would be surprised how many people send these notices out where they kind of don't even know. He'll just be going to the local school or something like that. It's a major bone of contention in relocation cases. And lastly, there has to be in the relocation notice a proposal for the revised custody schedule, because there will be a revised custody schedule. The person's moving. The dad's not going to have weekend custody anymore. It's not feasible. So there needs to be something that the person that's moving is proposing to the other side, that will go back to the definition of relocation, that hopefully significantly doesn't impair their custodial schedule. Or if it does significantly impair the custodial schedule, it mitigates it in some form. The person's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to get my weekend custody anymore. Maybe I get like 2 months out of the summertime, or maybe I get the extended break between Christmas and New Year. So I get a week there. I get 2 full months in the summertime, and I get other time. Maybe that's an appropriate arrangement, what you're giving up. We don't know. But we do know after the court gets involved. Okay, so in the absence of an agreement on this, and certainly, if you don't file a custody relocation affidavit, the counter affidavit saying, I don't want this relocation to happen. If you don't do that within 30 days, then the relocation can actually happen without your say. You may have waived your ability to object to that. But if you don't waive your ability to object to that and you do file the counter affidavit, the law says that the court then can send expedited hearing, like a hearing quickly, not one of these things where you go to court and you file for custody and the hearing is, you know, months away. The court's supposed to conduct an expedited hearing on whether either the non-relocating party objects to either the relocation or the proposed custody schedule. So you could actually object to either or both. You could actually say, nope, I don't want my child moving to Florida with this person. Or you could say, listen, I don't really mind the child moving to Florida or anything like that, but like I need more time. I need more time with my child. I'm not getting children. I'm not getting what I used to have. So I need more. You know, I need that 2.5 months over the summertime or 3 months or something like this. The case will then go to a hearing. And in the hearing, there's a special set of factors that the law says that the court is supposed to consider, must consider actually, whether in their decision rather to grant or deny the relocation. And I'll go through those factors really quickly and maybe discuss each one. So this is where it really comes down to it. This is where the rubber meets the road with respect to relocation. The first factor that the court has to consider, and this is based upon all the testimony of the person that wants to relocate, all the testimony of the person that doesn't want the relocation to happen. The first factor is the nature, quality, and extent of involvement and duration of the child's relationship with the party proposing to relocate and with the non-relating party, siblings, and other significant persons in the child's life. So this is sort of that sort of, you know, who are you to this child? You know, you know, your mom, I know, your dad, but like, really, what do you do? And that sounds like a crazy question to answer, but this is kind of what the court is going to get into. Like, for instance, are you there all the time? Are you the key person that helps the child with their homework? Are you the Boy Scout dad? Or are you the baseball dad? You know what I mean? What specific things do you do to demonstrate the nature, quality, and extent of your involvement? And how long has it been going on with this child such that we can take a look at this and be like, yeah, I mean, this child can't move away from their mother or their father. This is something that we really need to delve into here. And I think maybe that type of an inquiry, you know, may not need an expert for something like that. I mean, that's really testimony that the parents and even maybe the child can give, the children can give in terms of, you know, what does this person mean to me? What do they do? The next factor is the court looks at the age, developmental stage, the needs of the child, and the likely impact that the relocation will have on the child's physical, educational, and emotional development, taking into account any special needs. Okay, so now we're getting a little more out there. And certainly, you know, a parent might be able to get up and say, oh, this will be just great for the child. It won't have any impact at all. My child is very well established. I don't know. This factor here seems to me like you might need, you know, some more expert testimony. Maybe you need to have the children see a therapist. Maybe they sit down with a therapist prior to this and be like, do you want to move? Like, what is this? You know, what about your friends? What about your, you know, it seems like this type of a factor that the court has to consider goes a little bit beyond just the anecdotal things that the parents or even maybe the children could say. You need to really look at it. They're talking about emotional development, educational development, things like that. The third thing is the feasibility of preserving the relationship between the non-relocating party and the child through a suitable custody arrangement, considering the logistics and financial circumstances of the party. So right back to that, right? So the mom wants to move to Florida and the dad is like, wait, I get every other weekend. Maybe I see the kids 3 times a week at their activity. I'm driving them everywhere. I mean, very common. And then all of a sudden they get, you know, nothing. They have to wait till the summertime to see their child. That might not be feasible in preserving the relationship between the non-locating parent. It might just be like, I don't have my kids anymore. And you can't just go in and say that in court, right? You have to lay it out. You have to convince the fact finder and the person that decides the law, which is the judge, that this thing is just not feasible. This is not in my child's best interest. The next factor is the child's preference, taking into account the consideration and the age maturity of the child. So just like in a regular custody case, the court does increasingly want to hear from the children. And we always talk when clients speak to me, it's like, is my child old enough to talk in court? And it's like, well, it's really not a talking in court. It's about, is the child able to make a sort of well-reasoned preference, which is actually the law. That's the language in the statute concerning custody. Here it just says the child's preference, taking into consideration the age and maturity of the child, which kind of, makes it a well-reasoned argument or not that the child had. But the child could literally come in. Let's say the child's 13 years old and says, I've been wanting to go to this high school for 5 years. I'm going to play baseball next year. I'm going to dance, or all my friends are there. Like, this can't happen. I don't want to move. I mean, I don't care if, my mom is marrying, some, rich person in Florida, and we're going to live in a mansion and everything else is going to be great. I don't want to move. That could be a well-reasoned argument by a child, to where the court might just say, listen, mom, you can move, but the child doesn't want to move. We're going to think of something else to do here. So the children will be heard if their preference is articulated and it's reasonable. The next factor is whether there is an established pattern of conduct on either party to promote or thwart the relationship of the child and the other party. Well, this dovetails into that topic we always talk about with respect to parental alienation. I mean, indeed, we have custody cases where the other party just doesn't want the other parent to have custody of the child for whatever reason, whether it is narcissism or whether it is anger, or whether, is there actually really real fear. They just don't want it to happen. And here, the court looks at this because, indeed, you can think about it, the relocation itself could be an opportunity to thwart the relationship of the child with the non-relocating parent. They might be moving so that the other person doesn't really get to see the child. It can happen. Then there's those cases where, the parties have cooperated, for all the years that the child's been alive, and maybe it's not a factor. Maybe the request to relocate becomes reasonable because these people have a great relationship. The reason the person wants to move is legitimate, and these are people that are co-parenting effectively, and maybe they can get over this hump too, even though it's a little odd that the person's not going to see their child like they did before. The next factor, whether the relocation will enhance the general quality of life for the party seeking the relocation. Okay, so now we're talking about the mom in our example that's moving. Is this a good thing for her? And the court takes into account the financial or the emotional benefit, or maybe even educational opportunities for the parent. So in this factor, the court is focusing on the parent that really wants to relocate. Why are you doing this? Like, is this a good idea, or is like you don't want to live around here? You don't want to be cold anymore. Maybe you met somebody online and the person lives down there, and now you want to go off and have a relationship with this person and take the kids with you. It might not be a good idea. It might not be something that would enhance your general quality of life, or maybe it will, and we just don't find that it's reasonable enough for you to be able to take the children away from the other person just because you want to move. But this factor here will focus in on really the motivation of the parent that wants to move. And believe me, we have a lot of cases where there just is no good reason. The person just says, I want a new start somewhere. I want to move, and I want to start my life over. That's great. It's a free country, but you're taking away the children from the other parent, and you're certainly significantly impairing their ability to exercise the custody that they're used to exercising. The next factor, just like that, whether the relocation will enhance the general quality of life for the child. So now we're looking at the child, okay, including but not limited to financial and emotional benefit. So a lot of times we'll have the parent, maybe the parent's remarrying. I'm remarrying, and my husband just got a job. He's going to make $500,000 in Florida, and we're moving to a mansion, and everything's just going to be great for these kids. Well, now we're going to actually look at the kids. Is this really the right thing for them? you know, is this, is taking them away from the other parent, in our case, the father here, is this really going to help them? What's the emotional benefit? What's the educational opportunity? Are they going down a notch? Are they going up a notch? Is this the right thing to do for these children? The next factor is really, it kind of could be argued in every other factor, the reasons and the motivation of each party for seeking or opposing the relocation. This is where we go back and you start to examine a little bit of the relationship of the parties, or, you know, for opposing it, or maybe, you know, really good reasons that the party says, listen, this is a great opportunity for me. I want to move. My company's transferring me. I'm getting a big promotion, something like this. But you got to have a good reason. You got to have a good reason to want to relocate. And then the last factor really is any evidence of past abuse and how it might harm the child. I mean, if you have one of these cases where there's a lot of abuse, you know, it's a factor that's absolutely necessary for the court to consider, in my opinion. But unfortunately, I find in my practice that this presents an opportunity for maybe one of the parties to sort of demagogue that issue and just start to talk about stuff that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, really might not have anything to do with the relocation, might not have to do whether it's good for the child. It's sort of just an opportunity to bring up a bunch of stuff that happened during the marriage or during the relationship. And it's really going to be the skill of the judge to sort of sort through all that and say, you know, I understand all these bad things happen. They might be terrible. I understand why you two aren't together and these things were horrible. But is this really, does this have anything to do with what we're talking about today with respect to the benefits to the child or the parties moving? So a good judge will really focus in on that and listen to all the evidence that is presented and then try to fit those things into those boxes, the factors that they have to consider. So basically, that's an overview on what child custody relocation, kind of complicated. Again, so whether it's the beginning stages where you're saying, I think I want to move with my children, there is a whole part on the front where a lawyer is going to help you out in trying to navigate the notice and the counter affidavit and how to get a hearing. And then there's the whole part on the back end, where is the hearing, where you go and you get one shot, in a sense, to convince the judge whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. I hope that was informational and educational for you today. I encourage you to call a lawyer if you have any child custody questions, to include relocation with children. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Family Law, presented by Weber Gallagher. We hope you join us next time to learn more about how to navigate the financial and legal implications of divorce, custody, asset division, and adoption. Until then, please visit us at wglaw.com.